This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we begin a new series called This Is Us. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shows us how being part of a church family can help meet your deepest needs. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book for kids called Words to Love By. This book takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. They'll learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Only Family That Will Last Forever.
You know, in life, it's very important that at different times in your life, just pause and just stop and ask the question, why? Why am I doing this? What am I doing and why am I doing this? Why always determines how and how long. Now, we're going to start at the beginning. Watch up here on the screen. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:10, God is the one who made everything. That's where we start. We start with God made everything. And all things are for his glory. You and every plant and animal and rock are for his glory. But he wanted to have children to share his glory. The Bible says God invented the universe because he wanted a family. God wasn't lonely. God is love. But he didn't need us, but he wanted a family to love and to share his glory. And so he created the universe. Now the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1. God's unchanging plan from the very beginning of time has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So the whole reason everything exists is God wanted a family, and he wants that family to be with him forever and ever and ever. He puts us here on earth as a trial test, but what is that family called? Well, we've talked about this before. That family is called the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build a government. He didn't say, I'll build a nation. He didn't say, I'll build a business. He said, I will build my church. Jesus is only interested, God is only interested in his family. Everything else is going to burn up. The only thing on planet Earth that's going to last is God's family. He says, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not defeat it. The most successful human movement of all time is the Church of God. 2.3 billion believers, followers of Christ. The church is the largest organization on the planet. Nothing comes close. The church at 2.3 billion believers is bigger than China. The church is bigger than China and the United States and all of Europe put together. Nothing as big as the movement of God. You're not just part of an organization. You're part of a movement, and that movement is going to go on for eternity in heaven. Jesus said, I will build my church, and no dictator and no ism can stop it. Now, sometimes you hear people say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't need the church. No, that's a really big mistake people make, because you can't love Jesus without loving his bride, his body, his family, his flock. You can't love Jesus. In fact, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Christ loves his church. Whatever he loves, you better love too. Christ loves his church, and he gave his life for it. Christ died for the church. So don't ever say it's unimportant. Don't ever say it's the only people that are going to be in heaven is the church. Nobody else is. That's his family. It's his family. Now, it has different labels on it. Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Nazarene, Calvary Chapel. All the labels are irrelevant. The fact is, the people who are the followers of Christ and are part of his family, that's all that's going to be in heaven. And he built the universe because he wanted a family. Now, let's just start with the basics. What is a church? When I say the word church, some people think of a building. No, a church is not a building. A church is not a location. So when I say church, people think of something they go to attend. People often say, well, I'm going to church. Technically, that's a wrong statement. The church is not something you attend. It's a family that you belong to. It'd be more accurate to not say I'm going to church, but saying I'm going to a worship service, or I'm going to a Bible study, or I'm going to a fellowship, or I'm going to an activity of the church. You can't go to a church. A church is not an event. It has events, but the church is the family of God. Church is not an event you attend. It is a family you belong to. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's not something you go to. To actually say, well, I'm going to church, you really mean to say, I'm going to worship, or I'm going to service, or I'm going to Bible study, or whatever. It's not a place, it's not an event, it's not an institution. I'm going to give you a very specific biblical definition of the church. I'd like for you to write these four phrases down, okay? Number one, because once I explain this, then I'm going to show you five benefits of being a part of God's family. Number one, what is a church? The church is God's family on earth and in heaven. God's family on earth and in heaven. The church isn't just on earth. Many people are already in heaven. So some of the church, that's God's family, is already in heaven. Some of the church is still here on earth. But the church is both in heaven and on earth, and it is God's family. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 says this. I'm writing to you so that you'll know how to live in the family of God. We need to learn how to live in God's family. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. So anytime you talk about the church, you're talking about God's family. Anytime you talk about God's family, you're talking about the church. There is no family of God outside of the church. It is the same.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
A short time back, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning new children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones and takes them on a joyful, grace-filled journey, exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they can let us know we are not alone. This hardcover book is written especially for children ages 4 to 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
We need to learn how to live in God's family. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. So anytime you talk about the church, you're talking about God's family. Anytime you talk about God's family, you're talking about the church. There is no family of God outside of the church. It is the same. So it's God's family on heaven and earth. Number two, it's composed of saved and baptized believers. The church is composed of saved and baptized believers. Now, you might have your name on a roll as a child in some church, but that doesn't make you a part of the church. It just means you're on somebody's roll. You have to be saved and you have to be baptized to be a part of the church of God. Let me just show you what Jesus said. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, and is baptized will be saved. But whoever refuses to believe will be condemned. Now, some people look at that and go, oh, are you saying that I have to be baptized in order to be saved, that it's essential for salvation? No, I'm not. No water will save you. Only Jesus can save you. No water will save you. But if you really are saved, you want to be baptized. It's a contradiction to say, well, I'm a follower of Christ, but I don't do what he tells me to do. That's a contradiction. So maybe you're not really saved. Baptism is what I call the wedding ring of the Christian life. This ring doesn't make me married. It was the commitment in my heart that made me married when I said I do. This ring is the outward expression. It reminds me, oh, I made a vow in my heart. Baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you are. And anybody who refuses to be baptized, you had every reason to doubt they've had a commitment in their heart. Because the first thing Jesus said is, be baptized as this outward symbol of your inward commitment. So it doesn't make you a Christian, but notice he says, anyone who believes and is baptized, which comes first, believing or baptism? Believing, right? You believe and then you're baptized. Now, if you were baptized before you believed, it didn't count. You don't get any blessing from that. You need to do it again because it meant nothing. You just got wet. Okay, that's all it means. Baptism only matters if you believe first. Some of you don't even remember your baptism. So how could you possibly believe? Because maybe you weren't even old enough to know that. So you believe, Jesus said, and then you're baptized. Let me show you a couple of other verses. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is the day of Pentecost. This is the day that Jesus began his church. And Peter preached this sermon. He said this, repent and be baptized. This is the first day of the church. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then God will give you his Holy Spirit. Now in Romans chapter 8, it says, if you don't have God's Spirit in you, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. To not have God's Spirit would mean you don't really know the Lord yet. So he says, whoever believes in me and baptized, he'll be saved. And then Peter says, repent and be baptized. Now, in that verse, which one comes first, repent or be baptized? Repent, right? So if you were baptized before you repented, it didn't count. As I said, it was just a nice little ritual, but it meant nothing. You got no spiritual blessing out of it because you didn't even know what the meaning of baptism was. It comes after you believe and it comes after you repent. Now, here's what happens. Same day, Acts 2, verse 41, it says, then those who believed, they believed first, were then baptized. See, believing comes before baptized. And then they became part of the church. Baptism is the entry door to the church. About 3,000 people that day. So baptism doesn't bless you if you did it out of order. And if you believed after you were baptized, you need to be baptized again because it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean what the meaning of baptism is all about, all right? So it's God's family on earth. It's composed of saved and baptized believers. Third part is this. It's people who are committed to Jesus and each other. To be a part of the church means I'm not just committed to Jesus. I'm committed to the other people in my church family. A church means I am committed to Jesus and to each other. Now, let me show you a few verses about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. First, it says, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then, second, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. This is what we call the first base commitments at Saddleback. First, you give yourself to the Lord, and then you give yourself to a group of other Christians. The first one makes you a Christian. The second one makes you a church member. Let me say it again. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. That's how you get saved. You give your life to the Lord. And it says, and then they gave themselves to us as well. That's what it means to be a church member. You become a Christian by giving your life to Christ. You become a church member by giving yourself to a group of other people and say, that's going to be my spiritual home. That's going to be my family. That's going to be my spiritual base for my life while I'm here in this area, whatever. It is a commitment not simply to Christ. It's a commitment to another group of other people. And we're going to look at that today. Let me show you some other verses. Romans 12, verse 10 says, you are to be devoted, circle this, to each other. Not just to God, you are to be devoted to each other as brothers and sisters in God's loving family. That's what it means to be a church member. You're not just committed to Christ, you're committed to his family. You're committed to your brothers and sisters in that family. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. In Christ's body, each member belongs to who? All the others. Do you realize this? That in this church family, I belong to you. You belong to me. We belong to each other. That's what it means to be a member of a family. Now, notice it has the word member there. Sometimes you'll hear people say, I've actually heard preachers on the radio say this. Well, there's no such thing as church membership in the Bible. That's just nonsense. The word member came from the Bible. There was no word member until it was in the Bible. The word member is used about 100 times in the New Testament. The whole concept of membership was only about the church until other people picked it up, and all of a sudden, American Express says membership has its privileges. No, so now you can be a member of my book club, you can be a member of my Facebook following, you can be a member of some the Rotary Club, you can be members of a million other things, but the word member came from the Bible. And it's talking about being a member of a local body of Christ. And it's used in a very different way. It's not talking about secret handshakes and funny hats and passwords and stuff like that. What is it talking about in member? Well, look on the screen. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 14. Just as your body has many members. What are we talking about there? Your hand is a member of your body. Your ear is a member of your body. Your eye is a member of your body. Your nose, your spleen, your liver. These are all members of your body. Just as your body has many members, and each member of your body is unique. The liver doesn't do what the heart does. All your members together form your single body, physically. So it is with Christ's body. He says it's the exact same thing, physical parallel to a spiritual parallel. The Christ body is the church. He said all the members of the church make up the body of Christ. All right? So he's saying here that only as you're connected does it really, really matter. And then he says the rest of it. He says this, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, regardless of our background. Whether Jews or Gentiles or slaves or free, we all receive God's Spirit. He said, it doesn't matter what your background is, religious background, ethnic background, language background, racial background, none of that really matters. He says, regardless of your background, we all receive God's Spirit. That's what puts us in the body. We're baptized into one body, so the body isn't made up of just one member. It's all the members connected together. What is that saying? It's saying this. You are not the church of God by yourself. You are not the family of God by yourself. You're not the body of Christ by yourself. Only as we are connected together are we the family of God. Are we the body of Christ? Are we God's church? I'm not the church. You're not the church. But together we are the church. And he said it's in that connection. So only in connection to other members are you actually in God's family. If you're not connected to other members, how are you in God's family? So what does that mean then? What does that mean, the body, to be a part of the body of Christ? Look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. The way God designed our bodies, physical bodies, is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. He says, okay, look at your body, and then you'll figure out how the church operates. Every part is to be dependent on the other parts. I can't say that I don't need this part or I don't need that part. We all need each other, and we are to be dependent on the other parts. It was his intention that we live our lives together.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to have a hope-filled message from Pastor Rick delivered to you every day, go to PastorRick.com and sign up for Rick's free email devotional right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick Warren teamed up with a talented artist to create the stunning children's book, Words to Love By. Written with warmth and wisdom, it speaks to the hearts of little ones. Words to Love By takes children on a joyful, grace-filled journey exploring the power of words. Through charming illustrations and engaging text, young readers will understand how their words can change their lives and the lives of those around them. Kids learn that while words may be small, they can do big things. Words can encourage, and they can spread love and kindness, and they let us know we are not alone. This book is hardcover and is written especially for children ages 4 through 8. It makes a perfect gift for the kids God has placed in your life. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, we'll send you the hardcover book, Words to Love by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this beautiful children's gift book. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Today I want to share a very powerful letter from a listener named Michael. Michael experienced terrible trauma as a child. But he says that Daily Hope is helping him overcome his past, and now he's looking to the future with his kids. Let me read you just a little bit of Michael's story. Dear Pastor Rick, you and Daily Hope have brought God into my life, and it has saved me. I am a 29-year-old father of 5 children, and I try my hardest to teach my children to know God and to love Jesus and how to pray, and I do my best to be a good example and be worthy of all the good gifts that God has given to me. But you know, because of my childhood and the insecurities and abandonment issues that were created in my life from years of mental abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and yes, even sexual abuse, I've always had a hard time trusting God. I woke up every day feeling unworthy, and I suffered from feelings of anxiety and depression, and I felt like God couldn't possibly love me because no one else had ever loved me. And I carried that pain inside of me for so long, craving for a close, better, intimate relationship with God. Now, listening to Daily Hope has helped me achieve that and more. I'm not only better, but I'm now better for everybody else around me, spreading all that I've learned and the good news of Jesus Christ. I know God better than ever, and I now have more faith than I ever knew possible because I feel His love. Thank you so much. Daily Hope does such a great work in the name of Jesus, and I will forever be in your debt for bringing the fire of faith into my heart and helping me know God. I love you, and I hope you continue to bring change in the world through the message of Jesus Christ. You know, Michael, I absolutely love how you're teaching your 5 kids to know Jesus. That is a real man, a real dad, a real father. It's so important to pass it on to the next generation. And I'm encouraged that Daily Hope is helping you with the trauma of all your past and helping you work through those issues and keeping you growing in the love of Jesus Christ. You know, stories like the one you wrote to me are what keep me going. It's why we do this, changed lives. Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray, dear Lord, pour out your love on Michael. Help him to sense your love so that he never doubts it. Pour out your blessing and your peace on his family. I pray that they will continue to grow in their faith and that they will experience the peace that passes understanding as they follow you. God, I want to thank you for his faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.